الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعم حال المسلم، إن أمره كله له خير، إن أصابته سراء صبر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected brothers and elders, it being the 4th of October today, approximately 1 year since the genocide against our Muslim brothers in Palestine was escalated. You should understand as well that the genocide did not begin 1 year ago, but rather it began in 1948 when the refugees decided that they wanted their land for themselves. This is a political discussion, but for our understanding that we are acknowledging 1 year since the genocide against our brothers were escalated 1 year ago. And it is the predominant emotion amongst the ummah, that some have a feeling of sadness, depression, hopelessness. In fact, the nation or the ummah internationally, globally as well, experience a series of information or of emotions which revolve around the similar category of hopelessness and helplessness. But we should remind ourselves constantly that when it comes to being a recite of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, as long as we have the kalima within us, already we fall under the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how beautiful is the condition of a believer. Ni'ma halul muslim. So this case, this condition of hopelessness, or these emotions of hopelessness and helplessness, not only with regards to the situation that is taking place in Palestine, but with regards to everything that we are experiencing, be it in our personal lives as well, be it in our social lives as well, we are going through some difficulty, we are going through some hardship. A person will feel some sort of hopelessness, and to a certain extent, for lack of a better word, depression. But we should remind ourselves of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ni'ma halul muslim. How beautiful is the condition of a believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. That his every condition that he finds himself in is خَيْر for him. It is good for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمُسْلِمٍ. And this is not for anyone else but the recite of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That if he's in a good condition, then he makes shukr at that time. He tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my life is going very well. Everything that I want is going according to how I wanted it to go. At that time, he must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should not attribute it to himself, that it is because of my actions, because of my intelligence, because of my business acumen, or because of my qualifications that I find myself in this condition today. Everything we must attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is giving this to you. And that will be good for you. But when a person is going through difficulty as well, in asabatu sarra'u sabara, that when he is going through some difficulty, then he makes sabr. He exercises patience. And that is good for him as well. A person might say that it is easier said than done. When a person is going through some difficulty, is going through some hardship, then it is easier said than done that to make sabr and continue with your life. Sometimes it becomes a physical difficulty, it becomes emotionally bearing upon a person. Sometimes the emotional difficulty becomes physically bearing upon a person. At that time, a person needs to remind himself that the mere fact that you are going through some difficulty, it is perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants some good for you. It is not necessary that you are going through some difficulty because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unhappy with you. It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unhappy with a person as well. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem that at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a person through a smaller azab, a smaller difficulty in this world, before the greater difficulty comes upon him so that he may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a person. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him through some difficulty, through some hardship. And a person should understand that there is not a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is not a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu who did not go through difficulty. In fact, when it comes to the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, إِنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ بَلَانَ الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ The people who went through the most amount of difficulty, the most amount of hardship were the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, and then those who were closest to them in life, and then those who were closest to them in life. And we came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through was multiplied in comparison to an ordinary human being. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ra'sah, that I have a headache, my head is paining. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to her, bal ana wa ra'sah. That, oh Aisha, that you think that you are experiencing headache. In fact, I experience the headache of 10 men. So the mere fact that you are going through some difficulty, my dear brothers, understand that Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam went through difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through difficulty. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went through difficulty. But every time Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went through difficulty, and when they presented themselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diverted their attention to the actual objective of why we were created as human beings, so that we do not become overwhelmed by the difficulty that we are going through in this world. Like during the battle of Khandaq, when one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the severe pangs of hunger that he was going through. He lifts up his kurta and he shows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he had tied a stone to his belly to suppress the severe pangs of hunger that he was experiencing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts up his kurta, and to show a greater need for the suppression of hunger, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows him that he had two stones tied to his belly, indicating that even the hunger that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through was far superior than the hunger of an ordinary human being. Hence the need for two stones to be tied to the Mubarak belly of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time we are going through some difficulties, through some hardship, some emotional distress, some physical distress, we should remind ourselves again. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after seeing what difficulty the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were going through, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts his hands and makes dua for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Firstly, diverting the attention of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to that which really matters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are definitely going through some hardship. They are definitely going through some difficulty. But the true life is the life of the hereafter. لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة فاغفر للأنصار والمهاجرة. And this also is a lesson for us as well. That at the time of difficulty, at the time of hardship, how do we assist ourselves in overcoming that difficulty and hardship? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua at the time for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. What dua does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not make dua that this monetary difficulty that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were going through be lifted. That the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum get food. Or the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum get some physical assistance at that time. But utilizing this opportunity, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shifts the focus of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to the akhirat, to the hereafter. That Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah, faghfir lil ansar wal muhajira. That this difficulty, this hardship that they are going through, Ya O Allah, utilize this as a means of the maghfirat of the ansar and the muhajireen. Such was the fikr of the akhirat ingrained within the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That they used to constantly say as well, إِنَّمَا هِمَمُنَا الْآخِرَةِ. That our only worry and concern is the akhirat. So that when any nuqsan, when any shortfall, when any difficulty came to them with regards to the life of this world, immediately they would shift their focus and they would concentrate on the hereafter. Not only would they concentrate on the hereafter at the time of difficulty, they would sacrifice the dunya in lieu of the hereafter. Because they had understood that this is the objective of our lives. This is the maqsad. The famous incident of Hazrat Abu Dahdah Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an. In the early years of Hijrat, there was an incident of an orphan who needed to build a wall around his house. But the issue was, there was a tree of his neighbor which came in the way. If he had to build a house, build the wall around the tree or before the tree, it would result in a very weak wall being built. And if he had to build the wall around the tree, then it would result in the tree of his neighbor coming within his wall. So he goes to the neighbor and he explains to him his dilemma. And the neighbor was not listening. So he presents his situation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls his neighbor and tells him that this tree which belongs to you, why don't you give it to this orphan youngster, to your orphan neighbor? So this person, he refuses, says that this is my tree, I want the tree for myself, I benefit from it, etc. So Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poses a question to him again, that why don't you give me this tree in lieu for a tree in Jannah? Again this person declines the offer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lets him go on his way. Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, he hears this offer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this promise of the tree in Jannah, is it only for that person or is it for anyone who can give you this tree? So Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies that it is for anyone who gives me this tree. So Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, he goes to this neighbor Abu Lubaba and he tells him that sell this tree to me. Abu Lubaba replies that this tree is not for sale. So Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, he tells him about his residential home which was within a garden which had a spring and approximately 600 trees in that garden which he lived in. So he tells him that, you know where I stay. He says, Bulu Baba replies that who doesn't know about this orchard? It was beloved, it was well known, it was beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend some time
in the confines of this garden, enjoying
the benefits of it. So Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu tells him that, why don't you give me this tree in lieu of my garden, spring, and residential home? So this person asks him, are you joking with me? Are you joking with me? Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu makes everyone the witness around, says that if Abu Lubaba has to agree, this deal is done. There's no going back. Understanding the value of the akhirat, nuqsan can come to his deen, dunya. Nuqsan can come to him in the life of this world, but as long as he benefits in the akhirat, it was inconsequential. So when Abu Lubaba agrees, Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu immediately returns to his family. Every one of us put ourselves in this situation. One is selling such a large property or large possession, valued possession, with the promise of the hereafter. That takes an extremely high level of iman. But then coming home to your family, you are ready to accept the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about your family? Imagine us going home now, telling our wives, or telling our children, that now the time has come for you to come out from the home that you have become accustomed to. In lieu of what? In lieu of something that you are going to get in the hereafter. Not sure where you are going to go next. Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, he goes home. He calls his wife, Ummu Dahdah radiallahu anha, from outside. Says, Ummu Dahdah, come out. She tells him, oh, you enter the house. He says, no, I cannot enter this house. She asks him why. He says, this is not our possession anymore. It does not belong to us anymore. She says, oh, mashallah, you sold the house. Who did you sell it to? He said, I sold it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The family comes out of the home. See, what a wonderful deal this was. Imagine the wife and the children also on that level. Then Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells him that, oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this tree is now for you to give to that orphan so that he may build his wall and protect his house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him that, how did you manage to procure this tree? He says, in lieu of my residential home and my orchards. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately tells him, كم من عزق رداح لبالدحداح في الجنة. كم من عزق رداح لبالدحداح في الجنة. Then how many laden date palms there are for Abu Dahdah in Jannah. But that was not sufficient for Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu. The promise of the hereafter. He didn't want just one date palms in the hereafter. Few years later, in the battle of Uhud, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is surrounded by the disbelievers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again asks that, who is ready from amongst my sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to protect me from these disbelievers who are now approaching, they are coming close. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu asks, what will we get in return for protecting you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies that, you will get my companionship, murafaqati fil jannah. Immediately Hazrat Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu lunges into the battlefield and breathes his last. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his body, again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats those words, kam min izqin raddahin yabid dahtah fil jannah. How many trees that will be laden with fruit for Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu in Jannah. My dear brothers, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they had that in front of them. They had akhirat in front of them. As a result of which, they were ready to compromise whatever they had in this world, as long as they were promised something in the hereafter. They were promised a tree in the hereafter. Promised the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. There is another riwayat of a sahaba radiallahu anhu going to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of drought to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, we want some river, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we want some river to go, to flow through Medina, so that we may be safe from the drought that is taking place. When they come, before they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel Amin informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these two sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are coming to you. This is going to be their request. When they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, ask and you will be given. Ask and you will be given. Imagine if we had that opportunity where whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for at that time, it will be given to us. Especially at the time of drought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us as well. We have been faced with water rations. Should we be faced with this difficulty, remember this incident of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum as well. That at that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that ask and you will be given. They could have asked anything and it would have been given to them in this world. What did the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is in the heart came out at that time, that burning desire of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum? نَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't want anything in this world. We want to be your neighbor in the akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted that. They can suffer from drought, they can suffer from lack of water for years on end. That will be inconsequential as long as they have to drink from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the akhirat. Going through difficulty, immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diverts the intention. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they understood this. إِنَّمَا هِمَمُنَا الْآخِرَةِ Going through difficulty in this world was not of any consequence to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as long as they had promise of the akhirat in front of them. My dear brothers, we should constantly remind ourselves as well that لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشَ الْآخِرَةِ That the only life is the life of the hereafter, and bring our life in accordance to this as well. When Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they also went through some difficulty, through some hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who were going through some difficulty, through some hardship in the Quran al-Kareem. When they did not go onto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns, the munafiqeen, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they made an excuse of not going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ka'b bin Malik, Murara bin Rabi' and Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhum. They come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they tell him, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have no excuse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, with regards to y'all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide your fate. For so many days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were instructed not to converse with them, not to interact with them, not to transact with them. To the point that the Quran describes the condition. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ The land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast. The city of Medina is vast. The land of Hijaz is vast. But despite that, despite not being able to converse with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite not being able to converse with other sahaba radiallahu anhum, their life became, the land became constrained upon them. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ Many of us would say that this is our condition today. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ Their own selves became constrained upon them. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ And that they came to the conclusion, they came to the realization that the only way this difficulty, this emotional overwhelming burden can be removed from us is that we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conditions are from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to remove it. They made tawbah, cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. That emotional distress that they were going through was removed. Like the poet mentions, إِذَا ضَاقَتْ بِكَ الدُّنْيَا فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ That when dunya becomes difficult upon you, becomes hard upon you, then think about Alam Nashrah, the surah Alam Nashrah. Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put a person through difficulty more than he can handle. Neither does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not put a person through endless difficulty and hardship. A person will have been going through some easy times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him through some difficulty, and differently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that difficulty for some easier times again. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Understand that what difficulty will come ease, difficulty will come ease. So the poet says, think about the surah revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ مَتَا تَذْكُرُهُمَا تَفْرَحْ. That difficulty that you are going through is a difficulty which is between two eases. One is the one who passed, that passed, and the one is the one that is definitely going to come. Think about those two eases which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring upon you, and you will become happy. But the main condition, my dear brothers, is to not lose focus. The dunya may become difficult upon you, but understand the dunya is temporary. The akhirat is everlasting, the akhirat is eternal. And we should be more despondent when nuqsan comes to our hereafter, when some deficiency comes to our hereafter, rather than when deficiency comes to our dunya with the life of this world. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made mention that man fatathu salatun faka'annama wutira ahluhu wa maluhu. A person will lose a million rand, he will lose a family member, he will lose a child. How much of emotional distress he goes through. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when you miss a salah on time, when the time of salah passes and you have not performed your farz salah, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ, it is as if he has lost his entire family and household belongings. A person has to lose a portion of his wealth. How despondent he becomes. Because his worry and concern is the life of this world. Salah upon salah will be missed. Not only his own salah, but his family's salah. The entire household will be sleeping at the time of Fajr salah, but it does not affect us in the least bit. Why? Because we have lost our focus. My dear brothers, when this has become our condition, then we should understand, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us through some difficulty in this world. This is a difficult, when the difficulty that we are going through does not bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going through some difficulty, some hardship, but we are still not coming to the masjid for salah, for our fajr salah, for our faras salah. Then my dear brothers, this is indeed a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, when they went through difficulty, they resorted to tawbah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, who presented difficulty to them, immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned their attention towards tawbah, towards istighfar, towards the akhirat. When we are going through some difficulty as well, my dear brothers, if it does not result in us turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, turning our lives, creating a ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my dear brothers, the difficulty we are going through is indefinitely azab, and it is nothing in comparison to the difficulty that we will be going through in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us tawfiq of understanding and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.